Act 1, Scene 2.
It's really very simple. In his will, old Mr. Thomas Cardew, who adopted me when I was a little boy, made me guardian of his granddaughter, Miss Cecily Cardew. Young Cecily lives at my house in the country in the care of a very admirable governess, Miss Prism. Out of respect, Cecily calls me Uncle.
And exactly how old is young Cecily?
She's 18 years old.
Aha! And where exactly in the country is this house of yours?
You don't need to know that. You're certainly not going to be invited there, but I can tell you that it's not in Shropshire.
I suspected that. But continue this fascinating tale, my friend. Why are you Ernest in town and Jack in the country?
It's rather hard to explain, especially to someone like yourself, who has never had any serious obligations. As guardian to Mr. Cardew's granddaughter, I consider it my duty to behave in a serious and responsible way, and to set a good example of gentlemanly behaviour.
Certainly. To be guardian of a young heiress is a heavy responsibility. I'm full of admiration for you.
Thank you. But you'll certainly agree that such behaviour is definitely not good for one's health or happiness. It's necessary for my well-being that I escape to town as often as possible. So I've invented a wicked younger brother called Ernest who lives in London. Ernest frequently gets into trouble, and I'm obliged to go to London to rescue him. That, my dear Algy, is the whole story.
So you have created a useful brother in London. That's very interesting. I've done something similar myself. I've invented an old invalid friend called Bunbury who lives in the country. He is frequently ill, and I'm often called to his side. It usually happens when there's a boring social event I don't wish to attend. For example, with Bunbury's help, instead of dining with Aunt Augusta tonight, I'll take you to Willis's for dinner. During our meal, I'll teach you the rules of successful Bunburying.
Thank you, but I've no wish to learn them. In fact, I think you should get rid of Bunbury. If Gwendolyn accepts me, I'm going to get rid of my brother Ernest. Actually, I'm thinking of doing so anyway. Cecily is getting a little too interested in my wicked brother.
This very moral attitude does not suit you, my friend. Let me introduce you to Bunbury at dinner. I know you will thank me one day.
Algy, if I marry a wonderful girl like Gwendolyn, I won't need a Bunbury. And I didn't say I'd dine with you tonight.
Ah, that must be Aunt Augusta. Tell you what, old boy, I'll get her out of the way for 10 minutes, and then you can propose to Gwendolyn. After that, will you dine with me at Willis's tonight?
I suppose so.
I hope that Gwendolyn accepts you. You'll be a marvellous couple. I'm certain about that. But I think you'll find her mother is the problem. Aunt Augusta is not an easy lady.
Lady Bracknell and Miss Fairfax.
Good afternoon, dear Algernon. I hope you are behaving well.
I'm feeling very well, thank you, Aunt Augusta.
That's not at all the same thing, as you very well know.
You're looking elegant today, cousin.
I'm always elegant. Is that not so, Mr. Worthing?
You're quite perfect, Miss Fairfax. Quite perfect.
Oh, I hope not. It would leave no room for me to develop, and I wish to develop in many directions.
I'm sorry we're a little late, Algernon, but I was obliged to visit Lady Harbury. I haven't been there since her husband died. I've never seen a woman so changed. She looks 20 years younger, and her hair has turned golden. Now I'll have a cup of tea and one of those cucumber sandwiches you promised me.
Certainly, Aunt Augusta. Good heavens, Lane, where are all the cucumber sandwiches? I ordered them especially.
You ate them, sir. I mean, there were no cucumbers in the market this morning, sir. I went down twice.
What can I say, dear aunt? I sincerely apologise.
Never mind, Algernon. I had some cream cake with Lady Harbury, and we will eat well tonight. I can promise you an excellent dinner when you dine with us.
I'm afraid I'll have to give up the pleasure of dining with you tonight, Aunt Augusta.
I hope not, Algernon. That would be most inconvenient. It would completely change my seating arrangements. Your uncle would have to dine upstairs. Fortunately, he's accustomed to that.
It's a terrible disappointment to me, Aunt, but I've just had a telegram to say that my old friend Bunbury is very ill. They think I should be there.
This Mr. Bunbury seems to suffer from very bad health. I think it's time he decided whether he's going to live or die. I don't approve of all this compassion for invalids. You shouldn't encourage illness.
If he's still conscious, I'll certainly speak to him. I think I can assure you that I'll be in London on Saturday for your musical evening. In the meantime, as I promised you, I have chosen a selection of pieces for the programme. I think you'll approve. Should we go into the next room and look at the list?
Thank you, Algernon. I hope there are no French pieces. Unfortunately, I can't allow them. People seem to think they are improper, which is a pity. I quite enjoy them myself. We must have some German pieces. They are entirely respectable.